You know, the leaders inside of an organization, to me, it's even more important that they have a strong personal brand. And that brand really needs to align with the culture inside that workplace that they're trying to create throughout it.
Welcome to the Marketing Expedition Podcast, an auditory journey through the latest in marketing, branding, and advertising. Now, here's your Marketing Expedition guide, Ray Allen.
On this week's episode of the Marketing Expedition Podcast, I get to speak with Chelly Phillips, and she is a sweet tea sipping sassy southerner who is on a mission to build people-centered cultures in today's workplace so both employees and businesses thrive and succeed. She's a coach, a corporate trainer, and motivational speaker, as well as the international best-selling author of three books: Culture Secrets, Secrets Leaders Use to Build a Value, Culture, When in Doubt, Delete It, and Get Noticed, Get Hired. Her Successfully Ever After and Value Culture formulas are designed to make you irresistible in the workplace and so that you can land the perfect job or attract the most talented employees. She believes work should be more like a get-to than a got-to. She received numerous national and state awards for her strategic communications and public relations skills over the last 25 years, and she spent time in the utility industry, and now she uses those same skills to help business leaders tune into what makes them great, package it properly, and use their existing skill set to find the path to their highest potential. She developed award-winning employee engagement programs, which have received national recognition and are now being modeled across the U.S., and she works with corporate leaders to design and create a company culture encouraging employee support, growth, and community. And we're going to talk all about the power of personal branding and having great cultures in the workplace. But stay tuned, because now it's time for your Marketing Essentials moment, the basics that you need to help you continue to build your brand and your bottom line.
On this week's topic, I wanted to talk about promotional items. So we all get them. We all get the trinkets and trash, tchotchkes, all the things that you get when you go to a trade show. You get all the things, the pens, the notepads, the coasters, buttons, whatever. So how is it important to your business to think about, like, strategically think about the things that you give away with your brand to build your brand, right? You can't really associate a ROI on the things that you just give away because it's brand building and networking and all these things, right? Let me tell you a story. So one time we created a unique giveaway for a client that was something that no one else was doing at the time. Now everybody's doing it, but at the time, it was something different, something that they gave away that nobody else at the trade show was and no one else had ever thought of, but we did, because that's our job, right? To be leading edge, bleeding edge, cutting edge, out of the box, whatever. So at the time, it was a lens cloth cleaner and a universal USB plug that would charge any type of device. So it had multiple different device plugins with a USB. And now everybody's doing it. But at the time, it was something so unique that it gave our client an opportunity that I don't think I've ever heard of before. So he was in his hotel room, headed up to his hotel room in his floor, and he saw a lot of commotion going on down the hallway of his hotel room. So he had in his pockets his you know, little packages of lens cloth cleaners, and it turned into, you know, had like inside, it was a zipper pocket thing that had the USB with multiple device chargers that you could plug in, you know, an iPhone, an Android, a whatever, right? It had like four or five different plugs. And Well, he saw this commotion going on, and so he decided to just, you know, see what was going on. So he went in, and he found out that that was the room of the client that he had been trying to get a hold of or in touch of, or the prospective client. And he was hosting a party in his hotel room, in the suites, right? And he goes in, and he introduces himself, and he meets the number one guy that he had been trying to get a hold of, like, the entire time, right? And, of course, a lot of business always happens after hours. It's just the truth of the nature of how things work. And he ended up giving him one of these little, you know, promotional devices. It had his logo on it, had contact information, all that. And I kid you not, the next day, because he handed him one of these little tchotchkes with the contact information, we had a business card inside. It was a little zipper pouch thing, you know, with all the, you know, lens cloth cleaners and the little devices that you could plug into. And he got a call back, like a direct call from the number one prospect that he had been trying for quite a while to try to get in touch with. And he called them back the next day. So when people say that it's, you know, trinkets and trash, or, you know, tchotchkes, whatever, you just never know. You just never know. And we've done plenty of different promotional items. We've had hydro flasks with our logo. We've had hats. We had visors. We have shirts. We had pens, you know, pens that write in orange because our color is orange. We've had sticky notes, and we've had all of these different things that we just, you know, want to give out and build our brand with no direct ROI attached to it. But I will tell you, our client who gave away his little trinket got one of the biggest clients to call him back, and they're still doing business today. So a couple lessons here. One, business happens after hours, no doubt. Two, it's always good to have something in your pocket to give away that's not just a business card, right? You're not just out there to play business card poker and give every business card out to everybody you meet. But if you have something unique and different and special, and yeah, quite now it's not always that unique, but what's the next best thing? What's the next thing that's trending that people want, that people desire, that people would use and give away, and all of the above, right? So what can you do from this little mini lesson that's going to make you stand out at some kind of event or place of where you're networking or relationship building or whatever it is? What can you do to make yourself stand out so that the next best prospective client reaches out to you because something meaningful happened, a meaningful exchange happened, that now you're going to get new business from it because of that meaningful exchange? What can you do? If you want ideas, let us know. Seriously, comment or email us at hello@themarketingexpedition.com, or reach out to us on socials, DM us, say, hey, I listened to this episode and I want to know, I want some ideas, I want some things. We have plenty of partners that we work with that do all of the promotional items that we create the logos for. We create the, you know, we create the ideas. Like, we've come up with so many ideas that our promotional partners are like, now what do you want to do, Ray? Because that's something we've never done before. I'm like, yeah, I want to do something that you've never done before. Like, all the time. I always hear that all the time. It's actually kind of a compliment in a way. But what is it that you need that's going to help you stand out from the crowd? Because you know what? There's plenty of mortgage brokers and financial planners and bankers. But what is the one thing that you can do that's not just your business card, but something that's going to be meaningful to the right people that you want to meet and make an impact with, that's then going to turn into something more, that you have a story to tell for life? What is it that we can do to help you make that happen? And trust me, I have come up with so many different things. Our whole team has come up with so many different things that are not normal on purpose for a good reason. And people oftentimes are like, now what you, what? Now what? Say that again. And then it turns out to something amazing. So lesson learned here. What can we do for you to help you cross that bridge? All right, let's get into the episode that you've been waiting to listen to, because I always get to interview some amazing people, and it's coming up right now.
Welcome to the Marketing Expedition Podcast. I'm your host, Ray Allen. I'm the president and CEO of Peppershock Media and the founder of the Marketing Expedition community. And today's guest, we have Chelly Phillips. Welcome to the show, Chelly.
Thanks so much for having me, Ray. I'm excited about us getting to have this conversation today.
Yes, I know. I love these topics, culture and branding and all the fun things that we get to talk about. But first of all, let's let our audience just know a little bit more about you and kind of your journey, how you got to where you are now, and what steps you took to get there.
Yeah, so it's been kind of a twisted little path. How about that for, you know, a good start for it? I began as a reporter in the newspaper world. And so I tell everybody that gave me a great basis for really stopping, learning to listen, and really hearing people's stories. And, you know, that's what really attracted me to what I do now and everything else, is because everybody is unique and they have their own story, and it's our story to tell. I left that world and went into corporate PR for utilities, electric cooperatives specifically, and I spent 25 years doing that. Along the way, I was a sorority advisor on a college campus in Alabama for about 14 years. And what that really showed me, especially with the young women as they graduated, you know, they would walk across the stage, get those diplomas, and then they couldn't find a job in their career path. And if they took what I called get by jobs, you know, to pay the bills, start paying back their loans, whatever, you know, the whole real world throws at you once you graduate and you're right on your own, you know, when they did get those offers, they were coming in $5,000 to $8,000 less than what their counterparts were getting who got them right at graduation. It was like, because they had work experience, it dumbed down their education experience. And so what I really started doing then was really focusing on, you know, taking the PR side of what I was doing, yeah, and saying, hey, we are our biggest brands. We're our biggest assets, and we should be the champion of that brand. So I started working with them on how do we start positioning ourselves, whether it's on social media, whether it is in person in the interviews, and then how do I tie my real world skills with my educational skills and really show that value that I bring to the table. And so from there, that led me to starting my own business where I do coaching, workshops, you know, all that kind of stuff. And 3-4 books later, now I'm an author talking about it, sharing all this content. And so that's kind of been the path that led me to where I am right now.
Okay, let's talk about the book titles. What if somebody wants to read a book, which book titles should we search for?
So 3 primarily that fall under what we're doing right now. When in Doubt, Delete It was my first one. And it's really kind of, I tell everybody, it's like you're sitting on the front porch with your best girlfriends, no matter what age they are, and you're having a conversation about everything I wished I'd known before I hit this point in time in life. Like, what could I share with somebody who was coming up? And the book really ties into my writer's journal journey, because what it is, it's broke up into 5 parts and it uses the edit symbol. So anyone who's ever turned in a term paper or anything like that, and they've got it back and it looks like a teacher bled all over it with the red ink, it's the marks that you see on your paper, whether it's beginning a new paragraph. And for me, that's, there's things that we should begin in life. And then an insert mark, like you need to put something in here. So there's things that we should insert in our life. And then of course the title, there's things that we should delete and get out of there or move away from, such as the way we talk to ourselves negatively and the different people that can impact us. And in my case, I tell a funny story about an old boss that I had in an email that I almost sent that I actually deleted and decided not to. But it was one of those kick in the pants moments in life for me that was like, this is where you have to make a decision. You either stay here and you turn into a mediocre employer, or either you go out on your own and you start your own path and you find your own way. Mm. And so that book was really fun for me to write because it offered me a chance to share stories that I had learned and picked up from people that I'd interviewed throughout my journalistic career, as well as people I'd met corporately, as well as things that I just felt important to share after working with the young women in my life for so many years. And so that's really about personal success. Get Noticed, Get Hired was my second book. And it's all about creating that career brand online. Like, how do I do LinkedIn effectively? How do I create branding statements? And then transitioning that into your resume, your cover letters, all of that kind of thing. And then how do I show up in the interview so that I'm the person that they remember and offer the job to? And then finally, the last part of that book is the first 90 days on the job. How do I actually become the person that they think of all the time? I become top of mind. And how do I set myself up for promotion later on?
So tell me about your third book.
Sure. The third book that I wrote is called Culture Secrets. And, you know, the first book was about personal branding, personal success. The second book was about getting that job, getting noticed, and setting yourself up as a young professional to be able to be promotable and visible in the workplace. And that third book that I wrote, it was kind of like, you know, like we've talked about personal, we've talked about the job. How do we talk about the workplace? And so creating that culture inside the workplace that everybody wants to be a part of, that helps employers, you know, retain great employees, helps them hire the right ones that they need. I call it a value culture. And so it's an acronym that talks about its values and vision, accountability, leadership, recognizing the uniqueness of your people, and the engagement that you create when you have a strong culture inside that organization.
I love that. That's awesome. I love it when you put together acronyms too. People can remember that a lot easier. So tell me more, like, how have you been marketing your books and what you do and now your company? I mean, we are going on a marketing journey after all, but what are some of the things that have really worked for you?
Yeah. So for me, a lot of it has been, you know, like practicing what I preach. And that is building up that brand recognition and doing that both in person and online, you know, so getting out, being visible, and then not being afraid to share that story of me. You know, I tell everybody, people always say, well, you know, I grew up in the South and, you know, it was always frowned upon. You don't talk about yourself. You don't brag about yourself. That's not considered very polite in, you know, and so you kind of have to get past that it's not really bragging. It's more like advertising, that I need people to recognize what I'm doing and getting that message out there. So not being afraid to put yourself out there and share what you're doing. So building that presence on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on Instagram, those are the three primary platforms that I use because that tends to be where I get my biggest bang for the buck. And then, you know, also when I'm doing in-person events and speaking, not being afraid to sell myself from the stage, being able to talk about the opportunities that I have, the success that I've had with my clients and with my personal coaching clients and things, and really being able to talk about the value that you can bring to somebody so that they see you as that investment. I tell everybody, sometimes in our world where we're doing coaching and we're doing speaking and workshops and stuff, it's hard for people sometimes to think about that they are worth investing in. You know, like when you come to a workshop and you walk away with something that's going to improve your career or how you stand out, you know, you're going to recoup this investment that you've made in yourself. It's just like a bank of crap. It won't grow unless you put money in it and that you've got that interest growing and you watch it build over time. You're taking that same time when you're doing these things to invest in yourself and really amplifying your message so that people can see who you are. It becomes your virtual business cards. And what it's going to do, it's going to make people notice you and become more memorable so that your brand becomes more strong and compelling as you do these things.
Well, it's definitely in alignment with even just, you know, company branding and employee and employer branding together. If you hire the right people that work for your company that represent the company, and people want to do business with people, right? And so right. Being sure that they're in alignment with the company values just as much as the personal values, and making sure that those things are what you want them to be if you're a leader, but also on the flip side, the employee, and finding the companies that align with you, right?
Absolutely. You know, the leaders inside of an organization, to me, it's even more important that they have a strong personal brand. And that brand really needs to align with the culture inside that workplace that they're trying to create throughout it. You know, it's really important that they not neglect themselves in that process, because if they do, it kind of sends that mixed message that the person that's leading the charge, the person that I'm looking up to for guidance and direction, they're not showing me that because their brand is not carrying through with that. You know, that gives mixed messages to employees, which can turn into like really communication breakdowns. Right. And it really takes a toll on like the collaborative environment that you have, because people aren't sure who to place their loyalties with, or who do I listen to, or who do I engage with to do these kind of things. And so if you have a leader that is showing that they are celebrating the team that they work for, that they're continually learning and developing themselves, and that, you know, they're sharing that recognition and appreciation for the people that are inside their organization, and they're doing that publicly, not only does it reinforce their brand as a leader, as a team builder, and things that upper management wants to see as you're looking for people to promote inside your organization, it's also a beacon for people to look to come to work, is that they're seeing, oh, well, look at this supervisor. They're really building up their team. This is somebody I want to work for. So it becomes a great recruiting tool for the organization as well, when they're willing to help their leadership team develop their own strong personal brands too.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I always say, you know what, your branding starts from the inside out, not the other way around, right? It starts with your people. And yep. If you have happy people, happy campers, make happy customers, ideally.
Yeah, that's one thing that gets overlooked a lot, especially inside culture building and everything, is mm-hmm. the way that it can impact your customer satisfaction. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have happy employees, you're going to have happier customers. And, you know, I look at it a lot just like, think about like word of mouth. You know, if a new restaurant opens and you go there and you have a great experience, you're going to tell 50 of your friends, hey, this is where you should go eat. You should try this, best dish I had, whatever. But if you go there and the service sucks and you hear people talking about how, you know, how the cook is in the kitchen and everything else, and it takes you, you know, 2 hours to get your sandwich or whatever else, you're going to become the worst advocate for that organization as well. The same thing is true for your people inside the organization. So, you know, like when you can really help them and invest in them and do that kind of thing, they're going to be happier working, which means your customers are going to see happier results. They're going to have an employee that is willing to go the distance for them, help them solve their problems, track down issues, and really resolve any issue that your customer might be facing. And then that customer in turn is going to become your biggest advocate out in the world, talking about, hey, you need to do business with them because this is the experience that I had. So it's really a win-win for the organization and your people.
That's great. Let's talk about some success stories that you've helped people, what you do when you serve your clients. Give me, I mean, you don't have to mention names if you don't, but just give me an example of something that you've done to work with one of your clients. Like, walk me through that and what happened.
Yeah, I'll give you two different examples. One with a personal client that was looking to change industries. This is someone who had reached a later stage in life. Their children had moved out of the house. They were on their own, and they were really just tired of what they had been doing. You know, it was one of those things. It was a job they were good at doing. It paid the paycheck, but it just didn't really provide them, you know, the excitement for getting up and going and doing this anymore. And as I was working with them on developing their brand and working on their LinkedIn and everything, one evening we were sitting there talking, and they were sharing a story with me. That they came from a finance background, and they knew that they didn't want to totally discount that role, because, you know, they'd spent a lot of education and hours in it, but they didn't want to do spreadsheets and balance sheets all day long anymore. And so one of the stories they were sharing with me was that, you know, when they were younger, that they had always gone with their dad. They had a rental property, and when they had to do repair work or fix things up, and that was always the vacation fund for the family. And that was the most fun for them, was that he got to be part of that journey with his dad and like take care of that. And then they got to reap the rewards by going someplace neat for a vacation that year. And it came from the rental income. And he was telling me how he had stayed in with the real estate market for so long, but it was kind of a pet project, like, you know, keeping up with, you know, second homes and seeing what areas were really trendy and what was hot and what was not and all that kind of stuff. And so we really got to talking about it, and he decided that real estate was something he wanted to focus on, but not like first time homes or anything, but on these second rental properties or investment properties for people, because of the joy it gave him as a child and the memories that he had now. And so he transitioned into that world, has been very successful in it because he has a passion for it and because it's very specific to what he enjoys doing and what he looks at. And when we were building out his LinkedIn, you know, in the summary section of that thing, I told him, I said, you have to tell this story about, mm-hmm. this is something you've been passionate about as a child, even though you didn't know at the time, you know, mm-hmm. but like your love for what you do goes all the way back to when you were 7, 8, 9 years old, going with your dad and seeing what it could benefit a family to have this kind of property in their life. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's one of the things, that's the part that I love, is getting into the story of the purple person and being able to see them be able to relate it to someone and turn it into something that they can do as a career that is fulfilling for them, and that it is, you know, something that really catches the attention for someone. And when you read that person's profile, now I guarantee if you read that summary statement, you're going to remember that, oh, he's a guy that, you know, like he went with his dad to check the rental property, and that's why he does what he does now, mm-hmm. because it's such a compelling story and it gives you a glimpse into who he is as a person, that family matters, that these things are all important, and that when you work with him as a client, you're going to get treated that same way too. So that's one of my personal coaching stories that I love to share, because I think it really illustrates the fact that your brand is very much unique to you. It's not cookie cutter to someone else, mm-hmm. and that it really does need to reflect what matters to you, what you value, and what makes you stand out from someone else.
Same thing when we're designing logos, right? I mean, you can't just, you know, buy a logo that's already been created that was for somebody else and then try to make it your own. It just doesn't work that way.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more. You said you might have another success story that you
Sure. Yeah. I'll share one from a company's side, just for, you know, like since I work with companies on culture building and creating this inside their organization. And, you know, one of the things is a lot of times you go into an organization, and my background, I come from the utility world. So I deal a lot of engineers, a lot of numbers, a lot of science and this kind of thing. And so when I come in and start talking culture and culture building, a lot of times I get these glazed over looks on people's faces, and they're like, oh, that's that fluff stuff that everybody's talking about now. Like, we don't want any part of that. And so, you know, like one of the things that I really think is successful is, you know, when we can really tie someone's vision and values to numbers that they can actually track. Because, you know, that's always the thing, is like, I'm going to invest in a culture building initiative for my organization. What am I going to get out of it? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that's really successful to me, is when I can get people to see that there is actually trackable data that they can use to see that return on their investment.
And so, scoring, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you, or how happy you are, or like,
yeah, data like that, different things like that, but also on like, how much are they hitting your wellness program, you know, like with insurance costs and everything, because stress, burnout, all that kind of stuff generally relates to high blood pressure, different, you know, anxiety, different kind of things like that. So are you seeing an impact on your wellness program, your benefits cost and things like that? What about on absenteeism? Like, do you have a group of people that are constantly out and using it to the max because they're disgruntled and they're not, you know, they don't want to show up every day. They're not enthusiastic about what they're doing. Then on your turnover rates, there's things that you can track on that to see, am I keeping the right people? You know, there are some people that you need to let go. I'm not going to say that every person should stay where they are forever, because right. there are some bad apples out there. Yeah. But you can track that recidivism, that turnover rate that you have. And are you keeping people for a length of time? And are you recouping their investment? The number, I think, is if you have to go rehire, like if someone's been there for 4 or 5 years and then you have to go rehire that position, you can basically take 1.5 times their salary and put into the hiring, the training, the retraining, the reskilling, and the time that other people invest into that process to bring them up to speed before they're able to take over where someone actually left from. Mm-hmm. And so when you can put numbers like that to it, it really shows the value in building that culture, giving people a voice. And then when you bring them in and have them be part of the process, the discussion, what do we want our values to be, and then help them come up with a set of behaviors that are going to emulate those. You can start tracking those behaviors and see how people are following along. That gives you an accountability measure, and it keeps everybody on the same page and moving forward.
Mm-hmm. I love that. If you can measure it and treasure it, then
absolutely,
you know, be followed and done, because if it's not scoring well, then you can do something about it. But if you don't measure it, then how do you even know?
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's great.
And now a message about our sponsor, Billy Razors. Billy is a female-first shave club and a body brand that's putting an end to the pink tax on razors. So by spreading the word about the pink tax rebate, no purchases necessary, we both get a $20 credit to spend on Billy Razors and body care. Let's do this. It's really awesome. It comes in the mail. You get it on a subscription basis, and it just comes when you need it, and you can always turn it off when you don't, but you can have it set up to automatically come to you as you need new razors, and they are cost-effective and, of course, not what you're doing when you're paying at the grocery store such a high price on women's razors. So go to peppershock.com/offers and get your Billy razors today.
Okay, so what do you think are, what's some trends that are happening in your world right now? Like, what do you see, you know, in the next 6 months, 2 years? I mean, what's happening in what's trending with companies and you know, the culture and the things that are going on? What are you seeing?
So I would say that culture now is part of the norm. It's something that you are going to have to address to be a successful organization. And that can be whether you're a small, you know, a small business or whether you're a large organization. And that culture is something that people expect now when, as part of the hiring process. They want to learn about it. They want to know how they're going to be treated, how recognition is going to work, what are the, you know, how promotable am I, what are the, you know, like, what is the process for me being able to move up? Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing a lot is that, you know, recognition is a big thing as far as culture building and as far as retaining your employees. And recognition doesn't necessarily have to come from a bump in your paycheck. Right. It can be something as small as a shout out, you know, in a company newsletter. It can be a personal interaction with you and your supervisor, but it's something that has to be done regularly. It can't just be done one time a year at a end of a year review or something like that. It's got to be part of the process. The other thing is that culture and workplace initiatives are very personalized now. You almost need a personalized development plan for each of your employees to make sure that you're having the conversation with them about what matters to them. What do they need to see for you to be able to keep them in place? What kind of training or skills do they need to be able to move up to that next position? And then the other thing that we're seeing is a lot of leadership coaching, leadership development, because the old way of doing thing is the leader in the organization, you do it because I said you do it. That's the way it is. It's very dictatorial, very authoritarian kind of way. What's working today, because we have the multi-generational workforce out there, is a more coaching style of leadership. And that means that the leaders in the organization are the ones that have to become adaptable. You have to adapt to your team members now more than your team members have to adapt to you. And so that might mean you might be texting with your millennials, whereas your baby boomers that work in your organization want you to have that one-on-one conversation with them. And so as that leader inside the organization, trying to find that mix for what works with productivity, what works with flow, and what works to keep everybody engaged, it's really becoming a process that's very individualized to each of the teams inside that office or that organization.
Well, yeah. And what you were talking about, adapting your leadership style to the different employees, like having individual plans. Yeah, definitely how I communicate with, and we have at Pepper Shop, we have every generation working for us, you know, including my generation. So it's it's definitely different on how my younger, you know, just out of college student versus, you know, my older boomer employee. So yeah, it's fascinating because what the younger generation sort of, my boomer thinks, well, I would have never gotten away with that when I was, you know, her age or their age or, you know,
and it's just different now. And plus the younger generation, you know, they share a lot more about like what their salaries are, or what their, you know, pay is. And, you know, they're just, it's a very different world for, for them. Yep. So yeah. And it's interesting to kind of watch the dynamic and, you know, modify, like you said, for each person, because you're right. And some people, and not just generational, but how they think and how they, their personalities and their, you know, if they're introverted versus extroverted, or, you know, super, super creative, you know, either right brain, left brain, communicating is everyone has their style, right? And then molding it all together, and then that becomes your culture.
Yeah, absolutely. I think communication will always be the number one thing that either brings together an organization or brings it down, you know, and I don't necessarily mean your newsletter and things like that, but the way you interact with each other in the workplace is so important. And, you know, And you have to realize that there is no one right way to do it. The thing for successful organizations is that communications happens multifaceted and in different kind of ways, so that everyone feels like they're getting a piece of the information, that they're being heard, and that, you know, that there's not these little silos of information that are stuck in different departments, but that people feel like they are actually engaged. And, you know, I like to tell companies that when your employees feel like they are contributing to the success of that organization, that's when you've reached like the pinnacle of what you're doing, is because they are taking ownership at that point in time of how successful that organization is. And you're not going to do that without some great communication happening in all the different areas that you have.
Well, and I think it's understanding, it's a little bit different of a shift in mentality. I mean, it used to be, I forget which president said, like, ask not what you can do for, you know, what you can do for your country, or what your country can do for you, or vice versa, or what you can do for your country. And now it's, like the generations, it used to be, well, what can I do for my company? But now it's very much, what can my company do for me?
Yep.
But understanding that and recognizing that that's kind of the way things are, you know, and so how can you use that and leverage that to your advantage, right? And making sure that the company is taken care of because you're taking care of your employees, and not the other way around. And that's shifted. I think it used to be, when I first started the business 20 years ago, it was very much, you know, what can you do for the company, and how can you serve the company, as opposed to how can we as leaders serve our staff and serve our crew to make them want to be there, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that too. And I think it's fascinating though, that like in the next trending, I mean, after pandemic and people, you know, the flexibility, and everybody that I talk to either really loves to be able to have that flexibility and work from home and be on Zoom, or they really hate it. Right? It's really, and I don't know what the trend is going to be. I mean, I think people are, you know, it's just going to be in this forever hybrid scenario, but I don't know. What are you seeing?
All over the board, you know, like a lot of companies now are coming back fully into the workplace. You know, they've watched the culture erode because there is no connection with people. There's no break room conversations happening. Right. They don't know each other on a personal level. They just become a little icon on a screen, you know, and to very much to, we're never going back to the office. It worked great where we are. And, you know, I think that's going to be an organizational to organizational decision, you know, like, because different companies have different needs, and different workforces are going to respond different ways. And so, but I think it's important that you have those conversations, that it's not, you know, it's not a group of people sitting in a back room or a boardroom going, this is what it's going to be. And we don't know whether that's going to mean we're going to lose half of our workforce or not. You know, I think you have to have some real conversations and not be afraid to ask the questions. And if it is what they want, can we make it work? Can we make it work on a hybrid schedule? Can we make any piece of it work? Or, you know, I think the other thing that we're starting to see is like different schedules that are being offered, more flex time on start times, end times, or maybe we work longer hours 1 week and we're off a day, but we're still getting the same number a week and the same productivity. So I think more of that, you know, we're hearing more and more about a 4-day work week coming in the future and that kind of thing. And so I think some of that is going to really impact the decisions and discussions that are happening, you know, moving forward in the workplace. And again, you know, I like coming from the utility world, you know, I don't know that we could really ever be totally hybrid because, you know, you're going to have crews that are out working. You're going to, you know, like they can never do their job from the house. They can't work on power lines from their house, you know? And so I think a lot of it is going to be dependent upon the job itself, the skills, the actions involved, you know, what it actually takes to do it. And I think you may see some workplaces where certain departments work one way and other departments work the other, you know, just so that we can attract the right people to fill the positions that we need. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's going to be its own culture issue if, you know, like making sure that people feel like one department's not getting extra benefit than what I'm getting or, you know, something else. And so I think while it's going to be great in some instances, it's always going to be an issue that we have to work through going forward, because we know in a lot of instances it will work now, or that technology is there to make it work. But whether it's the most productive and whether it's the best thing for the organization is something that we're going to have to determine on an organizational basis as we kind of move along throughout it.
Well, and I can tell you, training younger people, it's harder to do over Zoom because, like you said, though, you don't have the sort of that water cooler talk or, you know, cross the hall or shout across the room kind of thing. Or, you know, if somebody just has a quick question, and it's just easier sometimes to be in person and be able to train and coach them up and give them the confidence that they need to feel like they know what they're doing.
Right.
And you just don't get that online because it's lacking a bit of emotion, especially if you're just, you know, messaging through, you know, chat or whatever, Slack or any of those places.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You don't have that human connection or emotion and, you know, the other part of the body language that you're not seeing either. And so there's, you know, lots of benefits, I think. But on the flip side, I mean, being flexible, I see that as, you know, a perk and a point of, you know, if somebody's got a doctor's appointment, then they can, you know, shift their schedule around. And the 4-day work week, you brought up a point. I would love to do that. I would love to do that, you know?
I work an extra hour a day to make that happen. Yeah, that works for me.
Totally. I mean, and productivity, right? If you get like 4 10-hour shifts to get that, you know, Friday off, for example, and you know that you're going to have Friday off if you do that, just like something to look forward to, and you're going to, you know, get all your work done. And I don't know, I think that there's some merit there for sure. And yeah, I've definitely interviewed people who do have that, you know, Fridays off kind of thing. And there's benefits and drawbacks to everything, but I think, wow, okay, maybe someday I'm going to aspire to do that.
Well, yeah. If you figure it out, let me know, because
I know. Yeah, right? It would just be my luck, though, then, like, a client has some sort of client emergency on a Friday, and I already planned on taking that day off, you know? Yeah. Yeah. So let's shift gears just a little bit. Who inspired or kind of motivated you or mentored you along the way?
Oh, gosh. You know, I'd say as far as the writing, yeah, that would be my sixth grade teacher, Miss Barbara Angato. Nice. Like, she was the one that really first kind of, you know, lit that fire that writing was something that you could do. Like, we used to go to her class, and one day a week she had this big box of random pictures, like they were cut out of magazines or they were, you know, like, I don't know where she got them all from, but anyway, and every one day a week, we would pull out one of those pictures, and we had a journal that we used in her class, and we all had to write a story about whatever picture we randomly drew.
Oh, nice.
And so, I mean, like, you never knew what you were going to pull out of the, you know, the bucket.
The
and
improv, so, but for writing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, that was something I got to where I just really looked forward to. And I think she's probably one of the ones that really inspired me as far as the writing side of things. Right. And then as far as the business side of things, I had a supervisor, his name was Wendell. And when he hired me, he said one of the things that I've never, ever forgot, and just the way he treated me, the other people on our team, and we were real people to him. He knew us, aww, you know, he knew our families. He knew the things that mattered to us and really cared about us as people too. But the thing is that he told me is that, you know, I'm smart enough to hire somebody that I knew could do the job. My job is to make sure that you have the tools to do it. And if you need something, I'm here. If not, I'm going to stay out of your way and let you get it done.
Nice.
And so, you know, not the micromanager, not the whatever, but the huge support and someone that always had your back and always, you know, like you felt like the door was always open and that you could go walk in, ask any question to, and that they were going to be that resource for you. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you as a young professional, like the impression that that made. And then I'd say the other person is really my dad. My dad was an entrepreneur. He had his own business for years and years and years. And, you know, I remember every morning him getting up, going to do the work, coming home and still excited about doing the work. And so to me, that was, you know, when you find something that you love and the people that you're working with and the people that you have in your life, it's just so important that you find those connections and be able to tie them all together between your work and your personal life. And so I would say those are probably the three biggest influences, like why I'm doing what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. And that I carry those thoughts and ideas with me forward.
It's awesome. I love that. It does happen. I feel like if you have entrepreneurs in your life that you have grown up with and been around, it gives you more, I guess, confidence to say that you can do it too, because you've seen mm-hmm. others who've influenced you that have made it or have done it. And same thing for me, my grandparents on both sides, one side is a farm, you know, farm family, the other side, they had a motel, and I, you know, scrubbed toilets and did all the things. And that work ethic was ingrained in me at a young age, but because they were there and did the work and, you know, were up in the middle of the night if they had to, and it was their business. And I wonder if, you know, people who have not had that influence, like what the difference would be in business success. I mean, that's an interesting statistic. We should survey it.
Yeah, you really should look into that and see, because I mean, I'm sitting here thinking everything you're saying is that work ethic. You know, yep. I remember going to work with my dad, and then I actually worked for him some summers, and you know, he stood on his feet, you know, 12 hours a day. And I remember the summer that I really worked with him, like being up all day, like when I got home that night, I'm like, my back hurt, I'm tired. And, you know, and I'm like at that point in time, 25 years younger than him, you know, and it was, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And, you know, you think just perpetually as he got older and was still doing this and that kind of thing. And then, you know, the lessons with customers and how they're treated and all of that, that is, you know, it's just incredibly, you know, it really does. Those lessons come back over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And so I would think there's probably a lot of validity to that, is that, you know, people who start their own business have probably been influenced by another entrepreneur at some point in time.
Yep. So wait, what was your dad's business? What did he do?
So my dad was a hairstylist. And so he did hair.
That's why he was standing for so long.
Yeah. You know, bent over shampoo bowls and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. But he also taught me so much on the business side, you know, keeping mm-hmm. books and records and taxes. Right. And, you know, I remember sitting up in his office with him at nights, like running tapes on the checks that he got and different things like that. And so mm-hmm. even at an early age, you know, just learning that, you know, there's a lot of pieces that go into a successful business. It's not just about the craft itself, but it's about the behind the scenes stuff too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that is like, because if you see, you know, somebody in the trenches going through all the work and doing all the things that need to get done, and oh yeah, dreaded taxes, of course, mm-hmm. but yeah. And then you still want to do your own business even after you see somebody in their business, you know, then that takes a special kind of people like us.
Yes. What were we thinking? Yes.
I know. I wonder if my kids, I have a 18-year-old and a 16-year-old. I wonder how they'll turn out, if they're going to, you know, end up doing their own business or like just say, no way, I don't want to have any part of it. Or I think one of them is definitely entrepreneurial. We'll have to see. Anyway. Well, I want to know, let's share how people can get in touch with you and get your books. And if they're interested in, you know, working on their culture and or personal branding, go ahead and share a little bit more information.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the greatest places to follow me, of course, is on LinkedIn. I am very prolific in partnering and posting on that. And of course, my website, chellyphillips.com, is a great place to find a lot of resources that you can download and everything. And in fact, if it's okay with you, I'll share a free resource that I have with your listeners. So if they want to start working through their personal brand and, you know, start working on their own branding statement and that kind of thing, I have a workbook that you can actually download and look at and, you know, really see if it's something that you want to look at. If you go chellyphillips.com, and that's chellyphillips.com/brand guide, you can download that for free and it'll walk you through the steps, questions to ask yourself. What do you want to be known as? How do you want to be recognized? What are your goals for the future? A lot of those different kind of things and help you actually create that branding statement for yourself. And you can use that for your career, if you're an entrepreneur, for your business, any of that kind of thing. It'll work on all those formats and everything. But those are the best ways to get me and the best ways to connect with me. And you can get my books on my website, and all of them are available on Amazon.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Chelly. This has been a delightful conversation. And I now I'm going to have to go check that out too. Awesome. And thanks for sharing your stories. I think people listening can definitely relate. So really appreciate having you on the show.
I appreciate it, Ray. Thanks for the invite. And I look forward to us talking in the future.
Yes, absolutely. And for those of you listening, the best thing that you can do for Chelly and I is to share this with others that you know that need to hear what she had to say today. And go ahead and go give us a review. Those are the best things you can do for a podcast and getting more people to see it, more eyeballs to see it and share. So thank you so much for listening. And until next time, everybody, enjoy your marketing journey.
Thanks for listening to the Marketing Expedition podcast. Want to continue the journey? Don't miss out on new episodes. Subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Wouldn't it be great if there was one place you can go to get all the latest information and tips about marketing and advertising? The Marketing Expedition community is that place. People like you gather in our online community to build relationships with others and find the latest marketing trends, tactics, tools, and technology. We help you build your brand and your bottom line. Start your adventure today. Visit themarketingexpedition.com to find out more.